All right. So were we able to kind of scramble all your linear thinking in our discussion? Did you come out of that discussion going, huh? We were a bit sneaky that way. We wandered all over the place, and you went all following us around, and eventually you got lost from your linear thinking. We were having so much fun. Because you see, when you're nonlinear, when you're in the now, you can do all sorts of circular thinking. And it makes sense. If you notice, we'd keep circling back around to something, then we go over here, and then we come back to something, and so on. And circular thinking is very organic. It takes you through a little micro journey, and then another one, and you spiral, right? So it's really fun. Most people don't know how to think that way. And so when we do spiral or circular thinking, most people kind of like, huh, what? They wander about and they feel a bit lost. And we want to disorient you from the linear order of thought construct. Right? So if you felt like you didn't quite get it all, that's okay. You did. You just wandered around with us a while. All right. So let's have some questions then. The ones that we had earlier today, wonderful questions. Thank you so much for those. So we're certain there's more juicy ones out there.
Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
I have a couple of questions. The first one is more to do with the first part of the workshop. In a lot of times, I have been fortunate in, you know, my life has its crises, absolutely, but I'll have times where there's no crises, but dear friends or family will have major crises. So is that a reflection for me? Do I need to do the same kind of working with it as I would if it was happening to me?
All right, good question. Yes is the answer for that. Because generally, a person that you're close to fills a certain space, an interactive place in your life. And if they die or they go through crises, there's a shift in them, which means in your life and in your relationship with them, there are shifts. You either have to come in to help support them, or you have to let them go, or whatever it is that is required. And part of the positive of this is that it is really wondrous that you can benefit from other people's crises. In a way, it's a gentle way for you to go through them.
Mm-hmm.
Is to go through them with others, because it helps develop a lot of compassion in you for them. As you see them going through their struggle and so forth, and that's the key for you, is to have that compassion for them and really hold in your mind for your friends or whoever is going through the crisis, that they come out with a grander, expanded awareness of themselves, a greater self-image, that they can find love, a greater sense of love within them, and that they can connect more to the divine within them, that they can find their strength, they can find more about who they are, their resources on all levels and dimensions. And by learning how to do that for them, that when you have a crisis, you can do that for you.
Mm. Okay.
You see? And even though you say, well, this is related more to what was earlier in the workshop, this is coming in the meditation to come. It's going to be a lot about that. All right.
Okay.
All right. And your second question?
I think the main way that I compensate is through control, but I also do numbing out and seeking help from a dependent position and distraction and being noble. And
you just go all over the chart.
Oh, yes,
huh?
I certainly do. Definitely get intellectual, and I definitely fantasize. So is that normal for to do like all of them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You're very creative. Let's say that. You're in a sense that it's a sign that you have lots of resources.
Huh.
All right. Now, if you have all those compensations and you switch them from limitations and limited compensations into positive strengths, you have way more strength than somebody who's a, you know, what do they call it, a one-note pony or whatever it is.
One-trick
pony. There you go. We got to get our slogans right. But, yeah, it's like if there's some people that their favorite thing and that's it. Now, it may be simpler for them to turn things around. But there are some people that have tremendous resources because you're able probably also as part of your mental resource and part of the intellectualization and all that kind of thing is that if you get into fear, you can probably think of many more possibilities of what could go wrong.
Oh, yeah.
than somebody who is the one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say, oh, I know it's going to happen again just like it happened the last time. So there are advantages and disadvantages on both sides. You see, the disadvantage of the one-trick pony thing is that it's harder to kind of see alternatives and other possibilities just because there's a rut that's been made there, right? But on the other hand, there's only one pattern to turn around. Where you have many more options, you may need to go and specifically turn each one around, maybe smaller overall, may not take as much effort or energy or whatever to turn each one around, but every one that turns around becomes a treasure. So you can do much more imagination, perhaps, more easily.
So what are the opposites of those compensations to turn it around to?
All right. When you turn something around, generally the function of a compensation, all right, is to keep you in a particular reference to power, love, freedom, and safety.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So when you turn it around, you reverse that. So let's say that you have a compensation that puts you into powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
When you turn that around, you step into greater power.
Okay.
Right? It's like like control, a real popular one, right?
Yep.
Everyone's played around with that one, right? Some people are better at it than others, and so that's their major game, but other people have tried as well. And control is a state of insecurity and continuous fear and feeling powerless to control, to assure, to get a guarantee, to be a safe future.
Mm-hmm.
So got to control, got to stay on top of everything. All right, that vigilance that's developed and that keen awareness that's developed in the person who is controlling. Because you recognize it takes a bit of intelligence to keep that control game going really well. You have to stay on top of everything, right? This is used to great advantage. Because when you shift it back and you're in power, then every little nuance that comes up, oh, I can be powerful there. Oh, there's another place, another way I can be empowered. You see?
Yeah, that's
so
cool.
So everything turns around. And becomes a resource. That's a very good point. You know, when you let go of the resistance as well, you also free up tremendous amounts of energy. We were talking about fatigue earlier. Fatigue is something that nags at most people, actually, whose resistances have become very much in their face and who are on a spiritual path. Very often being on a spiritual path is almost an invitation for some fatigue, because it is important for you to get your motivation correctly aligned to yourself, to who you are, you see. And so the fatigue that is really the energies, so many of your energies holding the resistance into place. You know, you're resistant. Okay, this takes bracing. This takes holding your body. It's on such a subconscious level, a lot of people are not aware of how they hold tension in their bodies, and they have to deliberately work the tension out, or they're holding the tension in their emotional body, you see, or they're holding stressful thoughts that continuously drive them nuts in their mental body. So the way you hold the mechanism in place has to remain tense. It has to remain stressed. That means you have to use a lot of your energy, a lot of your willpower to hold yourself into the resistance, to brace yourself, to protect yourself, to put the walls up, as we talked about earlier, to have all the protection devices from the chaos. All of this, when you let go of your resistance and you let go of your compensations, and you step into your light being self, it frees all that energy. At first, you don't know what hits you sometimes. Sometimes you feel so exhausted because it's as if you've been resisting. All of a sudden, you stop resisting. You fall down. You don't have any strength for just a brief period. Do not worry. You might feel overwhelmed when you first let go of a resistance, right? You might feel just totally discombobulated, overwhelmed. You might feel just kind of like wiped out. You just don't know what's going on because you're in the chaos. And it has to kind of blow over. Your whole body, your whole psyche, your emotional body, or whatever body was holding the most of it, has to reset itself and get aligned with the replenishment. Okay? So fatigue at first, it's like overwhelming sometimes. But if you don't panic, and if you don't go back into your fear response or go back into a compensation, if you instead move to that place within you, into the center within you, and get your attention all in core being, dropping everything off, it only takes about 2 or 3 days, and the overwhelm and the wash through and the extreme disorientation and dizziness and whatever else comes with it will wash over. Mm-hmm. And you'll find yourself feeling washed, clean, clear. Oh, and slowly your energy will rebuild. And you'll rebuild because you're bringing it in from inside. It's your own essence fueling you, replenishing you, you see? So, good question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi, Glexus.
Hello.
You know, thinking back over my life, we're talking about chaos, and it seems like I enjoy chaos, and I spend most of my life there. And mm-hmm. when I kind of head out and try and build some kind of a fluidity here on this physical plane, it's like I sabotage myself and I go back into the chaos. And it's not a place that I don't like. I seem to love the chaos.
Well, dear one, you're using the chaos as an escape. Some people do that. It takes all the pressure off of you to go there, right?
Yeah.
It's like all of a sudden I'm not pressured to achieve. I don't have to do stuff. I don't have to face my garbage. I don't have to deal with fears. Hey, let me just go over here and float a while. Mm-hmm. Right? So that chaos is actually not the chaos we're talking about. That's your little zone of escape called it's actually a bit of a really pleasant state, but it's a box. It's a little box where you don't have all the issues. It's a place where you just kind of numb out the issues, and then you have this little area in the chaos, just a little area in the chaos where there is no stress, and you just go and sit in there. Okay? So we don't say don't go there. But just recognize the function of the place, okay? The function is so that you can take all the pressure off you, all the stress off you. And in that sense, if you can use that space to recharge yourself, then, and you can find out how to do that, and you can follow this workshop, follow these meditations, they're intended to replenish you. You see? To get you plugged into your juice and so on. But at some point, you're going to get back into your power. Because this space, you're not powerful there. You know that, right?
Yeah, and it's very small, too.
It's very small space. And you're free as an adolescent. It is an adolescent space. This is your inner adolescent says, okay, time to zone out, right? Time to go away now. Let's all leave all the stress and craziness behind. Let's go and just float now. Ah, bliss. All right. Now, there is a link from that place to the true bliss. And you feel it sometimes.
All the time, yeah.
Right. But that bliss is we'd say it's an adolescent level bliss. Some people actually can find the same type of kind of bliss, believe it or not, sitting on the sofa watching TV for hours at a time. Some people have a whole library of old movies and they'll watch the movie over and over again. It's just people have different ways of going into this little escape zone where they feel all cozy and nurtured and just with themselves and that kind of thing. And it's an adolescent place. It's a positive, you see, but it's not going to give you the level of happiness that you could get in your external world, because the object here on the physical plane is to have this kind of bliss and joy in your everyday life. Not just in the place that you go to escape, you see?
Correct, yeah.
Right? So what we would suggest is that when you find yourself going there, you recognize, hey, you know, I'm numbing out and ignoring all of this stress and all of this type of stuff. So instead of just ignoring it, numbing it, instead of pushing all of that away so that I can go into this nice little cozy space, let me just open up this box that I'm in, this little cozy box. Let me just expand the walls and include all of that stuff and just be with it. Just be with all that pressure, that demand to achieve, to succeed, to make money, to do the right things for your body, eat the right diet, be healthy, do this, do that, do the other, blah, 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 the whole list. Okay? And just sit with it and let each one object on the list, each item on the list, just sit with it and don't resist it, don't grab it, don't criticize it, don't destroy it, don't run away from it, don't shut it down, don't numb out, don't do any response to it, just be with it. Like earlier, what will happen is it will dissolve. You see?
I do.
And what happens then is if you go down a good juicy list, at one time, you can get on the other side of this list, in the expanded box, and now you go into that bliss. It's not a little box, it's a big box. And when you're in a big box, you feel the expanse of yourself, and it is glorious. It is like what you're experiencing now, times 10. You see?
Yeah, I do. I hit it every once in a while, but not for long.
No, you can't keep that for long if it requires an exclusion of something else. You understand?
Yeah, I do.
And what you want is you want everything in there, and then you want to go to the emptiness where everything dissolves and drops away. And then you are experiencing safety. You're experiencing tremendous freedom. And then you can tap into the love. And you are, because of your choice, because of who you are imagining and owning yourself to be and tapping into this greater resource, you feel empowered. Whereas right now, you're not that empowered in that space.
No.
You know, so the greatness of you, you're just like, here's this grand ocean and you go out to the beach and you put your toe on it like this. Okay, I've experienced the ocean now. You see? And that's what you're doing with yourself. You are such an incredibly expansive being, and those moments of ecstasy that you have experienced is part of your true nature, is to live in that regard. You've got, you know, spiritual heritage that is very connected to Eastern traditions in this world at this time. You've been in Eastern traditions where you've gone into enlightenment and lived your life in enlightenment. And so you hold that almost as the object of your intention, as your focus in this lifetime, is to not be concerned with the worldly ways, you see, right?
That's for sure.
And to be the spiritual person floating through life, doing the mundane things, but the spiritual being, what is it, you know, chop wood and carry water before enlightenment, and after enlightenment, you chop wood and carry water. You just happen to be enlightened and in bliss all day, right? That's what you have put as your object, as your aim. But it also includes a limitation. And the limitation is you can't be really successful in the world. You must give up the world. You must give up stuff. You must turn your back on it, on that material stuff. Let it go. You see what we're saying?
Yeah. Sometimes when I think about it, since, you know, coming here, I can't imagine how I live in, how I've created such a small box for myself.
Well, the small box that you created back when you were a teenager.
Right.
See, you've grown way, way past that, but when you want to get rid of all the stress and tension, you go back there. That's a really little box.
Mm-hmm.
You deserve a much bigger box now.
Mm-hmm.
It's all that you've just been relying on your adolescent to take care of it.
Mm.
You see, you call your adolescent self in, and he says, well, let's go back into the box. It's comfortable and safe and secure in there and feels good. Right?
Nice rocking chair in there.
Hey, there you go. Yeah, you just kind of rock with bliss. Oh, yeah, I don't have to deal with any problems. Oh, this is so nice.
I used to do that as a child, my mom used to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
When I was like 1 year old, I would rock and just, I would be gone.
That's right.
And she would know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be in a snowbank somewhere, fast asleep rocking.
Yes, absolutely. That was part of that, the way you brought that kind of orientation or that Zen kind of tradition into this life. But it had a denial of the physical plane in it, of the material world. And so you've grown to a place to where the opportunity for you now is huge, that you can bring the material world in it. But, of course, you have attached to the material world shame, pain, failure, wounds, all right?
A few more.
And, let's keep going. Some fear, terror, rage, anger, endless frustration, right? Rejection. Alienation, loneliness. We don't need to go any further, do we?
No.
All right. Okay. But see, all of that seems to be associated with the material world. And your adolescent put that in place. He was the one that decided, hey, it's just not worth it to try and succeed because you're always going to fail. So just don't even go there. Don't even try. You see what we're saying?
I do.
But you put yourself into a shame and failure loop.
Yeah.
And so when that happens, you get more pain. And so then you go back to the box to escape that. So every time you foray out into the world, into the material world, you go there knowing and expecting and anticipating more pain. You see?
Yeah.
So who wants to go there, right? A stupid person to want to go there when this nice little box is so cozy, right? But part of your spiritual mission is that to go there and not let that shame and the failures of your past determine who you are or provide you any identity of yourself. That's the past. You got to give yourself permission to let the past go. It does not determine who you are. You are not the product of your past. You see? You are the product, if at all, of your future, of who you're dreaming yourself to be. But you get stuck in that time thing. You could, because you have a lot of gift on the spiritual realm and tuning in to certain frequencies, you can get really high very quickly, very fast. You don't need substances to do it either. Okay? So you have a certain gift to be able to leap and launch. Imagine what would happen if you didn't have the shame and the pain and the frustration and the sorrow and the sadness and the blah, 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 and all that on the list. That you weren't afraid of that anymore. That there was nothing to resist there anymore. And you weren't buying into it as who you are anymore. Can you imagine the freedom of that?
Yeah, I can. It feels beautiful.
Feels very expansive, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Your box is so huge that you have loads of room to do whatever. And it's safe enough when you're in your present self. It's safe enough for you to venture into intimacy with your reality, to be close to it. Whereas now, you hold it gently, lovingly, but at arm's length. You can sense that detachment you tend to have. Right?
Yes.
Because you anticipate pain. So, I'm going to keep it at arm's length. Okay? But what if you could go and embrace life? What if you could receive bounty and abundance? Without scaring the bejesus out of you.
Interesting.
See, most people think, well, when you raise the bar, oh, that's a lot more work. We'd say, raise the bar on your self-image. And experience the reality that follows. See, your pathway is not a heavy work pathway. Your pathway is generally a meditation pathway. A lot of people don't have the meditation pathway, but you do. You understand, right?
Yes, I do.
You know how to do things with your mind and focus in that particular way. But if you can do this, getting in touch with that foundation of your being, you're free. You're free of all that pain. That doesn't mean you will never ever go out there and create and never ever create anymore. But think about it. What if you knew that you could go out there and you could create something painful? Yeah, you could. But what if you knew, as the pain came in, that you could dissolve it, that you could have compassion and love for yourself, that you could still respect who you are, that you could still expand yourself, that you could learn from it and not have to ever take it personally again. No judgments, right?
Right. That seems to be happening a little bit now with an idea that I have.
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be I'm willing to allow it to work without sabotaging or without...
Mm-hmm.
Putting any negative connotations to it. It's
well,
a
right.
Idea. And
it
part
is.
Of me
mm-hmm.
is able to dream huge dreams. And this time it seems okay. I'm having a feeling that it's okay.
Well, see now, you can do the positive side of the young adult there. But we would say that you have in the past dreamed big dreams. But they've been fantasies because your self-image wasn't up to fulfilling them. You didn't see it at all possible how you could fulfill some big dream. Now, we would suggest that what might work for you is to dream when you have the big dreams, right? Recognize this is your young adult and they could go either way. The big dreams could be fantasy, la-la land. Or the big dreams could be actually realized. And take the dream and bring something that's within, whatever the dream is, within 2 to 3 months. What is the piece of that dream that you'll find in 2 to 3 months of that big, big dream? And what self-image do you need to have to fulfill that? How's that for a thought?
Piece of gold. Thank you.
Right. You may find it a little tricky because of the belief system of the consensus and the collective of which is influencing you, that you can go from where you are in the little box to the big dream, like so. You don't really, just that you're giving yourself a chance to dream a big dream without all the usual self-discouragement with it, is a step forward. You're going into young adult. Means that you're moving out of the adolescent. That's fantastic. You realize there are so many people stuck in child their whole life. Yeah? So recognize this as a triumph. Do not judge yourself and say, oh my gosh, I should have done this years ago and I should and I should be much way further along than I am and oh, you know, let that go. That's all that BS from the past, you see?
I do. Thank you, Galaxis.
You're certainly welcome. Because you have a certain boundlessness in your potentials and possibilities. And, of course, in the process, every one of you, as you dream dreams and move towards the fulfilling of material plane dreaming, you do have to husband your body, nurture, tend your body. You have to make sure that your body is not overstressed, it's not pushed beyond its limits. Be gentle with your body. Most big dreams entail in the production of them, currently in the collective, a workaholic. Requires you to work 80-hour weeks. You got to get rid of that one. That's the past, okay? So what you want to do is to find a dream, piece of the dream that's manageable, that won't require you to be this huge workaholic. Because as soon as you start pushing, hey, the slave driver's in force, you're not going to get it. You see? You're going to sabotage.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, dear one. Thank you for that question. All right, next.
Hi, Galaxis.
Yes.
I would love to hear what you have to say about astrology, especially since Ginger is an astrologer. And the reason I'm curious about this at this time is I'm going through Saturn return, and I've pondered this quite a bit, and I know that the infinite that I am is beyond all stars and all influence that any stars could exert upon me. Yet, this has been the most powerful challenge of my life. And I know that the stars have power on us because they affect our thoughts. And one phenomenon that's been going on is since the Saturn return thing kicked in, I can literally feel these negative, intrusive thoughts. It feels like Saturn is broadcasting them at me. And I've learned to work with them. But at the beginning, when this thing really got going, it was scary. It was very, very frightening. And it felt like negative thoughts being broadcast in my brain. Thoughts mm-hmm. that I never even dreamt about before,
mm-hmm.
showing up in my brain, very frightening, designed to frighten me, and it really, I mean, I sat down and had a big talk with Saturn, and I said, why are you doing this to me? And Saturn said, which, by the way, in India, they communicate and connect with the spirit of the planets. I learned how to do it over there. And it said, I'm here, I'm your teacher, and I know that, and I'm here to help you transcend the fear and the, you to teach your lessons. So I'd love to hear what Galexis has to say about the planets, their power upon us, their influence upon us, and to what extent are we destined to just carry out our plan that is in the star for us, and to what degree do we have power to transcend that plan?
All right. Well, the Saturn return is a very special time. Mm-hmm. It is a special crisis. Mm-hmm. Because the Saturn crisis is not a singular, individual, personal crisis. It is you releasing the burden of the collective off of you. The consensus off of you. That's the theme of the Saturn return.
What do you mean by collective? I'm releasing mass consciousness.
Yes.
Right now?
Yes.
That
and
I've carried my whole life?
Yes. That you've been swimming in the whole life. These are limitations of belief and thought and attitude. That's why it seems like it's broadcast at you, because it is making you aware of all the limiting thoughts, feelings, blah, 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 that are out there in the collective and the consensus, and saying, we're bringing it to your attention, says the universe, via Saturn, mm-hmm. as the master of teacher, mm-hmm. as a master teacher. We're bringing it to you so that you can look at your place in the collective and in the consensus, because until you can distinguish yourself from the consensus, and until you can let the influence, quote-unquote, of the collective, of the mainstream thinking, of the consensus reality concept, of the collective consciousness, until you can separate yourself from that, step free of that, and no longer feel imprisoned by it, pressured by it, stressed by it, scared of it, burdened by it, overloaded by it, whatever. Until you can get to there, you are not going to make it through this Saturn return. The option is for you to look at it, to acknowledge what it is, where it's played a role in your life, and to let it go, to be done with it. The lessons that you have to learn really are not what you suspect. Because, frankly, the planets do not influence you, nor do any stars. No influence. They do not influence you. The time and space that you selected, that intersection of your birth, that when that is calculated produces a two-dimensional chart of a three-dimensional solar system around you, is essentially a reflection of your choice coming in. All of this is a reflection. It's reflecting the mass consciousness to you. It's reflecting your own fears of the mass consciousness. It's reflecting your reaction and response and relationship to the mass consciousness. Because the second Saturn return that you're going through is the transition point into your wisdom. This is the period of the crone, Saturn, the crone, aspect of goddess, you see? So its symbology is that you are on a metaphorical journey into the time where you can release the stuff of the past, release the stuff of the collective, and step into greater wisdom and greater knowledge that you can then turn around and impart, if you wish, to others.
Do these negative intrusive thoughts carry power?
Only to the extent that you give it to them.
Mm-hmm.
If they create a feelings of powerlessness, it indicates that you are still feeling powerless to the consensus. This is all feedback to you, you see. Your responses and reactions to it are feedback to you as to where you still do not feel powerful, or where you still get trapped with a judgment about negativity. Mm-hmm. Because if you judge negativity, you're resisting negativity. Anything that you resist sticks you. It catches you in a trap. And you do a little dance with it. Do you want to dance with negativity anymore?
No.
Your choice to be free of the negativity. So when the negativity comes, negativity actually in itself is a judgment. You have all these ideas, all these thoughts, and they stimulate certain feelings within you. So what we would suggest is to do what we did in the meditation earlier. It's where you sit down and you just go and feel these the influence of these thoughts on you and just be with them and let them dissolve. Let them blow through. You don't have to accept them. You don't have to fight them. You don't have to be tough and stand up to them. You don't have to defend yourself to them. You see? You don't have to do all of that dance. That's a lot of energy lost. In your wisdom, you hold a resonance of yourself as the powerful one. And so that you get to a place to where these so-called intrusive thoughts and so on are no longer intrusive, but when they come in, you say, oh, that feels like a limiting idea. That feels like something that could or used to provoke fear in me. Ha ha, the consensus is still trying to capture me. Ha ha, and just make a kind of light of it, make fun of it, in a sense, make humorous, but recognize that it's giving you messages. Messages that in the future you can turn around to people who are still struggling in their traps of consensus thinking and feeling, and to show them a way out through your wisdom, to show that you don't have to fight all your life. You don't have to defend and protect from negativity. You hold a positive, life-affirming, joyous resonance, and in the acknowledgement of who you are and connected to your and being part of and experiencing your power, your freedom, your love, your safety in the present moment. And all of this is like a little wisp in the wind. It does not have to influence you, just as planets do not influence you, stars do not influence you. You'll realize that this whole universe that you're in is reflecting you. And you're ready to go to a greater acceptance of yourself, a greater self, who functions at a greater functional level on the daily life.
Galexis, I have talked to some light workers who have verbalized their opinion, and I sometimes wonder about it, that the dark side is at times trying to take out the light workers.
That's just ego paranoia. That's ego. Oh, I'm so important as a light worker. Ha ha. You know that the darkness has its mission to destroy me, and I'm going to fight for the light. I'm going to be a warrior for the light.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, golly, give us a break. Because you see, as soon as you accept that orientation, you have to fight. You have to struggle. You have violence. You have pain. It's the old paradigm of violence and separation.
But light and dark has always been at battle with one another.
No, they haven't. That's part of the mythology that came in about a couple of thousand years ago or so. Maybe a little bit more than that.
Mm-hmm.
It came in. There were many cultures on this planet, and there was no domination of a major culture. Right now, the Judeo-Christian concepts are dominant on this planet. Nothing against, Christians and Jews, okay? But the whole concept that was brought in is part of the twisted masculine, and it's all about violence, superiority, hierarchy, pecking order, winning and losing, you see, and all that kind of thing. And so don't fall for that. The light and the dark can be together inside you in harmony. Think about that for a minute. What if in your daily life all the light and all the dark could be in total harmony? harmony. See, darkness is not evil, okay? We want to point that out. It has been assigned the quality of evil and judged as being negative, and therefore dark has been negative, evil, bad. So the whole polarity thing is that good versus bad, so light versus dark, right? And this is the culture. This is not what is. What is within you, the darkness within you, is the chaos. It's the void. It's where all possibility is. It's where everything is, actually. You think that that's only where the pain is. There's no pain in the light. Some people cannot handle the light. If you ever have found yourself resisting success or sabotaging your success, it may be because you fear the light. Because if the light shines on you too brightly, you feel too visible, too vulnerable, too exposed. The darkness has your secrets. It has your shadow. It has your mysteries. You see? So don't look at it quite that way. Those who say that there's the warriors of the darkness and are fighting the light warriors, and of course they're the light warriors, right? And they're judging all the warriors of darkness. They're judging how business is done. They're judging the government, the big corporations. They're judging all the people who eat meat, who spoil the planet or drive, gas guzzlers, whatever it is. Okay? Don't get caught up in that.
Alexis, what about demonic forces that create disease?
No.
And war?
Nope.
Do you believe in demons?
They are thought forms of evil that people have created.
But they have power, correct?
They have power according to your belief in them. If you believe in the, if you're a victim of the consensus, mm-hmm. you can be victimized by demons. If you step out of the consensus, which is what the opportunity you're having now to do happens, then how can a demon do anything to you if you don't resist it? Demons are waiting for you to fight them, and then they'll gleefully suck all your vitality out because you're on their playing field. You're playing, you're fighting with them, you're resisting them. Hey, they got you. Don't resist. They'll dissolve in the now, in the love, in the light of your being. Okay? Thank you, dear one, for that question.
Thank you.
All right. And thank all of you for the questions. Very good questions. Very delightful questions. And so we're going to take another 10-minute break, and then we're going to come back and do a final meditation. And so think about what is your favorite crisis pattern. Let's move it out, okay? Mm-hmm. All right. So, 10 minutes. Farewell.